Any of you?
You're poaching on our lands. That deer you took wasn't yours to have.
Jack didn't waste his breath arguing. Anyone claiming to own such obviously free land had to be out of his mind. Even the most power-hungry baron never tried to lay claim to a bigger vill than he could control. That was just stupid. A quick glance at the mountain face behind him told Jack he was less than 20 feet away from it.
No! Pepper, stay back!
Jack glanced back down the incline. A blonde-haired giant of a man strode through the clearing between the skirmish lines. He carried a huge axe over one beefy shoulder. A stainless steel-finished machine pistol was in the man's hands.
Don't, Pepper! He means it! He'll kill me! I didn't come out here to die!
Just to kill someone, right?
Let him go!
Fuck off! Where's the woman?
Alive?
Don't believe you!
The man named Pepper kept coming, slow and easy.
I'll let you live too if you want.
Listen to him.
Jack hefted the .357 and tried to line up a shot. Suddenly his prisoner moved, throwing off Jack's aim. Pepper hurled himself into the brush, gaining another 5 yards on Jack's position. Then the wicked snout of his machine pistol poked out. The rounds hit the man in front of Jack, pulping the center of his chest, but not passing through. Jack hung on tight.
He cut his throat! I saw him cut Douglas's throat! Kill him!
Jack dropped the .357 into his holster. The leaf-bladed knife went back where it belonged. Before the corpse's brain could cut off muscle control, Jack vaulted to the top of the man's shoulders, driving them into the stone wall behind them to gain even more support. Jack jumped from the man's shoulders as the legs and back broke their locks. His hands were out before him, seeking the nearest branch above him that he thought might hold his weight. His open hand clutched a branch as big around as his thigh, and he slid his other arm over the top. Gouges erupted from the stone wall around Jack. The teenager took a couple of steps forward along the branch, then bounced on the end of the tree limb. He grabbed the next branch and went up quickly. Without a second thought, he threw himself at the ragged face of the cliff. His fingers and toes found uneven places where he gained barely enough purchase to keep from falling. He held on through sheer strength, his cheek pressed into the rough surface, hard enough to hurt.
Helen! Don't let him get away!
Jack reached above him, stretching his legs to achieve another couple of inches. His back burned with the effort of supporting his weight so close to the rock with so little to work with. He sensed movement on top of the cliff. It was almost within arm's reach now. Then his left foot shot out from under him as the rock face crumbled. He flailed in a last-ditch effort to seize the top of the cliff as Ryan's head suddenly appeared over the edge. Ryan took in the scene at a glance. He saw Jack's face pale with the realization of the inevitable fall, but there was no other emotion. Christy stood behind Ryan. Both of them had left the cave immediately, throwing on their clothes and seizing their weapons in haste. Neither knew for sure where the others were. They'd merely followed the sounds of the gunshots. Ryan threw himself to the ground. His upper body out over the edge of the cliff, he caught a stout-looking bush growing at the top, then extended his other hand toward the falling Jack.
Jack!
The youth managed to twist his body in the air and grab Ryan's proffered hand.
Hang on!
The weight was more than Ryan had expected. His arm and shoulders burned as he lifted Jack toward the top.
Damn it!
Going prone beside Ryan, Christy raised the M16 she'd taken from the redoubt. She rose to a knee, slung the rifle, then aimed the .38 down the cliff.
They're withdrawing. Let's get the hell out of here. Where's Dr. JB?
I saw them over there.
Ryan squinted in the distance. He didn't see them. That wasn't surprising because they'd probably gone to ground with the sound of the first gunshot.
Mildred?
They took her.
Is she dead?
I don't know. Maybe tried to take her alive. Disappeared with man on top of her. Couldn't do anything. No gunshot. Maybe a knife. But the man had a gun in hand.
They weren't trying to take you alive.
Holding the Steyr in both hands, Ryan headed back toward the cave with the others a step behind. If JB and Doc weren't captured and didn't know where any of the group was, it was logical that they'd return there as long as none of their attackers had taken up a position there.
Who are they, Jack?
The man say Celts.
Celts?
Yeah. Man tell me they own this land. Say we are stealing and trespassing.
I didn't see any signs.
Yeah, you did. The men hanging in the tree were the kind of advertising these people probably do. Covers pretty much all they need to say. Is that blood yours, Jack?
No. Took a deer. That before they showed up.
The cover offered by the trees and brush disappeared 40 yards before they reached the cave. Broken stone littered the hard ground, still frozen in the shady areas. Ryan held up a hand. He scanned the landscape ahead of them. Nothing moved. However, if he'd been in charge of a large group laying siege to the mountain and had known of the cave's existence, he'd have directed a flanking action to come up on this side as well.
Nothing to do but try it. Hold steady here.
Be careful, lover.
Shit!
Ryan doubled back, throwing himself back to cover. Bringing the star to his shoulder, Ryan peered through the telescopic sights. The crosshairs fell over a man reloading his single-shot hunting rifle.
You got him, Ryan.
Hey, JB!
Bit of a tight spot.
Been there before.
You want to join us, or do we join you?
We go with them. The place where I found the pool? The fissure goes on through the other side. It'll put us on the other side of the mountain, give us some running room for a while.
Okay. JB?
Here.
We're coming to you.
Come ahead. Say when.
When?
JB raked a blistering line of death across the Celt's positions with the Uzi as Ryan, Jack, and Kristen staggered their pace so they didn't overlap to present a single target. JB and Doc had already gotten their gear squared away and had sat in packs against the wall.
Where's Mildred?
We think she's alive, but they've got her.
So what's the plan?
We get away. Then we figure out who these bastard Coldhearts are and come back for Mildred.
Could be they'll kill her while we're gone.
Maybe. But if we buy the farm, there's no way we're coming back for her.
Yeah.
Something else to think about. Give them long enough. Somebody's gonna get the bright idea to trot Mildred out of wherever they've got her and use her against us. Then we got no options at all. We surrender and probably die. Or we put a bullet through her brain to save her some misery.
Okay, grab the gear. Let's move.
As the companions traveled by torchlight beyond the chamber containing the cistern, the smell of bat guano made it hard to breathe. Ahead, they saw a boy huddled up in the fissure, a cloak pulled over his body. Blood smeared his pale face, and he looked up at them in fear.
Don't kill me!
Secure the area. We're on triple red here.
JB took another torch from his pack and held it to Christie's. When it was lit, he held his shotgun at the ready as he moved on ahead of the boy. Jack took rear guard.
Looks like the boy's been shot.
Yeah, but he's also dressed like one of them. Stand up. Keep your hands where I can see them. I'm gonna shoot you through the head. You understand?
I understand. I'm not ready to be reaped.
Anyone with you?
No, I'm alone. They killed Bean. It was my fault. I shouldn't have asked them to help me. But the time of the great uprooting is wrong. My father and the others knew this. They killed my father too. Smashed his head with a rock.
Ryan moved forward. He searched the boy while Christie held the torch and kept him covered. Ryan turned up a short knife with a worked wire handle that showed care. A cornstalk had been designed into the wire with green metal. Yellow stones had been placed into the design to represent ears of ripe corn.
What are you doing here?
Hiding. They'll kill me if they can find me. They've already tried.
Who?
Pepper and his men.
Who's Pepper?
Pepper is the prince's most favored seed herald. He reaps who the prince says should be delivered from our people. Those whose paths have made them wander too far from the one vine.
You know what this kid is talking about, Doc?
I do not know, dear Ryan. From the cut of his clothes, I'd say they're homespun. Very well done. As to the seed herald titles and reference to reaping and wandering too far from the vine, I'd say we're dealing with an agrarian society. The seasons were at the whim of the gods. Therefore, sacrifices, often animal or human, were offered to appease them.
Who are you?
My name is Terragon, son of Foxglove the Druid.
Druid?
Yes. He was one of the finest of healers.
Who are your people?
We are Celts. Luke Silverhand created us to retake the Earth in his name after the Great Freeze.
By the three Kennedys, you are a Celt.
A torch flared into view ahead as JB rounded the corner.
We're clear. Walk to the mouth of the fissure. Nobody there. He came alone.
Not alone. Bean was with me. He got killed. Someone put a quarrel through his belly. I held his hand as Ivory Ginnifer harvested his soul.
Who's Ivory Ginnifer?
Luke Silverhand's mate. As Luke breathes his life into a seed so that it may blossom, Ginnifer is the one who takes us back. There is so much you don't know, and the time of the great uprooting is upon us.
And what, my lad, is the time of the great uprooting?
Death time, when all shall be consumed.
Hey, Enemy's not far behind.